Employers in one of Wisconsin's top tourist destinations are struggling to hire staff. That's because of federal delays in processing visas for foreign workers. It's Monday, June 22nd. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, some northern Wisconsin communities could lose ambulance service. And we hear from a climate specialist about the severe weather we've had so far this year and the summer outlook.
It does look like through the last little bit of June, things might stay a little bit cooler than average.
Stay with us.
Between AI and social media and misinformation, it's good to be skeptical of what you hear. On Morning Edition from NPR News, you get independent reporting.
And tell us what NPR has learned about these back-channel efforts from countries.
Driven by curiosity, not an agenda.
Oh, that part is news to me. What's going on here?
Get the facts every weekday.
Businesses in Door County say they are facing staffing challenges because many of the foreign workers they rely on throughout the summer season have not arrived this year. Employers say federal processing delays for H-2B temporary work visas and the lottery process used to distribute them have delayed or prevented some workers from coming. That's left some wondering if they'll get the help they need for the summer. Kim Jensen owns several businesses in Egg Harbor. She says the county has a severe labor shortage. Foreign workers help fill the gap.
We can't find even college kids to come and work. And if they can work, they have to be gone by August 15th. And our season does not stop till the end of November.
Glenn Mandel is a business immigration attorney from Door County. He says more than 2.5 million tourists visit the county each year, and there are not enough local residents to fill the jobs needed to cater to them.
It's increased the level of uncertainty as to how many people they're going to get and when they're going to get them, and then how to fill in, of course, the gaps when they don't have those people available.
A bipartisan group of federal lawmakers from across the country sent a letter to the Trump administration this month calling on it to address delays in visa processing. A spokesperson for the State Department said the Trump administration recognizes the visa program is important to local economies and department staff and is taking the time to complete thorough security vetting of applicants. Missed calls for emergency medical services went up more than 80% in Bayfield County last year. Four towns in the northern Wisconsin county could soon lose their ambulance services. Daniel Kading has more.
Like many across Wisconsin, emergency medical services in Bayfield County are grappling with a declining number of volunteers and increasing call volumes. The county's EMS coordinator, Brian Zeman, says volunteer ambulance agencies missed 108 calls last year, up more than 80% from 2024.
We had some circumstances in 2025 over the holidays where we were paging an ambulance coming out of the Duluth Superior area to respond to Bayfield County because six other ambulance services weren't able to respond.
Bayfield County is seeking proposals from EMS providers to back up its volunteer agencies. A 2022 survey by the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health found 41% of roughly 200 services didn't have enough volunteers at times to respond to 911 calls. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The leader of Wisconsin's largest mosque spoke to supporters in Milwaukee Friday, the day after he was released from federal detainment. Salah Sazor is the president of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. He was arrested in March by immigration agents and had been in custody ever since. But a federal judge ordered his release on Thursday. He was back at the organization on Friday afternoon with his family. He thanked supporters for sending him letters, and he also thanked the judge for his decision.
And I thank the judge for his firmness and the way he chose to be a just judge, and honestly, he gave me hope for the system.
Sarzor's immigration case is still moving forward while he's out of custody. The Department of Homeland Security has accused him of lying on his green card application to get into the U.S. His legal team says he was targeted because of pro-Palestinian advocacy. A 37-year-old bipartisan land conservation program will expire next week. Rich Kramer reports Democratic and Republican candidates running for governor say they'll bring it back if elected.
The Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program has conserved around 750,000 acres since 1989, but lawmakers couldn't agree on an extension, which means it will expire June 30th. Democratic Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez says letting the program expire is a serious mistake.
This is why the next governor, Democratic governor, needs majorities in the Senate and the Assembly so we can get this done for Wisconsin.
When they were in the legislature, Rodriguez and three other Democrats in the race voted against past state budgets that included a Knowles-Nelson reauthorization because of objections to other GOP budget provisions. Republican candidate Tom Tiffany has criticized the growth of the land purchase program. He said he will reauthorize it with a focus on maintaining land the state already owns. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A longtime Milwaukee and Madison educator is leading the Department of Public Instruction's Office of Literacy. Kaylee Jackson is taking over the role as the state tries to address declines in reading ability among children. Jackson comes to DPI after spending 3 years as the head of curriculum and instruction for the Madison Metropolitan School District. She says tackling the state's literacy problems will take time. Jackson says educating stakeholders will be key.
We want to be sure that we have a clear communication around the priority, the urgency, and the supports necessary to make sure our students are reaching the goal.
DPI will begin placing literacy coaches in about 50 public schools this fall. The coaches are part of Act 20 legislation passed in 2023. About 36% of Wisconsin's youngest students score below the 25th percentile for reading. After the break, we'll hear an update on the Wisconsin weather outlook for this summer and beyond. Stay with us.
When you're online, visit WPR.org. You'll find news headlines from WPR and NPR and feature stories about arts, culture, music, and politics. Explore our live audio streams, links to program information, or check out upcoming events in your area. WPR.org. We're not just on your radio.
Summer weather in Wisconsin is known for being unpredictable. According to the National Weather Service, 31 tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin from April through mid-June. That's more tornadoes than the state sees all year on average. As the severe weather season continues, so does the heat of summer. Parts of Wisconsin have already hit 90 degrees, and federal forecasts show the state is set to face above normal temperatures this summer. Here to share a weather outlook on the season is Amanda Latham. She's the Climate Outreach Specialist for the Wisconsin State Climatology Office. She joined WPR's Alex Crow.
It's been a busy summer weather season already in Wisconsin, but I want to start on the national scale, if that's okay, because El Nino is being talked about by a lot of the national media outlets. Can you tell us a little bit about what happens with El Nino and if we'll see any sort of impact here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's a really big phenomenon that people talk about a lot, but don't always really understand what it is. So just very quickly, what El Nino is, we're looking at the Pacific Ocean water temperatures near the equator. So think down in South America near Ecuador and Peru. And when those waters are much warmer than average, that triggers an El Nino pattern. And so that influences ocean circulations, atmospheric circulations, the position of the jet stream. It causes the polar jet stream to shift a little bit further north. So it essentially locks all of the cold air up into Canada and up into the Arctic. For Wisconsin, we don't really see any consistent impacts from El Nino during the summer months. There are some data that suggests maybe it can lead to slightly cooler summer conditions, but those trends really aren't very significant. But we do see those more consistent and significant impacts during the winter months.
Let's turn now to Wisconsin in the month of April. It was the state's most severe month for thunderstorms, tornadoes, and flash flood warnings since records for those warnings began in 1986. That is according to the State Climatology Office. Do you expect this summer to follow a similar pattern that we've seen already in April?
You know, it's hard to say, because if we then look at May, that came right after April, and we hardly had any severe weather in the state. There was one tornado that was confirmed that is slightly lower than Wisconsin's average for the month of May. And so typically during the spring season, we see April a little bit quieter. May, we start to see things ramp up, and then summer is when we see a lot of that activity.
we take a wide angle view of it, is that something that we could be seeing down the road, that severe weather starting earlier on, maybe in the springtime?
Yeah, that's definitely something that we've started to see in Wisconsin. If we compare when we saw the most severe weather, maybe in the 50s and 60s, or even 80s and 90s, to when we're seeing it now in the 2000s and 2020s, we are seeing severe weather seasons start earlier in Wisconsin and then also last a little bit longer into the fall.
Let's talk about summer heat. Overall for Wisconsin, are we looking at maybe a warmer summer or a cooler summer this year?
That's a good question. It does look like through the last little bit of June, things might stay a little bit cooler than average. It does look like July and August could really go either way. So unfortunately, it's undetermined.
All right, let's talk about precipitation. What have we seen so far in June this month? And are we looking at any sort of patterns developing there?
Yeah, June has been wet in certain regions, parts of central Wisconsin and southern Wisconsin that had multiple rounds of severe weather in the last few weeks got tons of rainfall, whereas some areas have been a lot drier. Up near Green Bay has been a bit drier. Off towards the northwestern part of the state has also been a bit drier.
Are we expecting to see those sort of wild swings so close in succession as some sort of pattern developing for the future?
Yeah, that is actually something we've already seen a bit in past years. Our office has nicknamed it the precipitation ping pong, where we seem to go back and forth between a really, really wet month and then a really, really dry month. And a lot of that has to do with just that seasonal variability, but also potentially the positioning of the jet stream, where that's setting up, and if that's changing from season to season as our climate has started to get a bit warmer.
That was WPR's Alex Crow speaking with climate outreach specialist Amanda Latham. They discussed a summer weather season outlook. And turning to weather, patches of fog early, otherwise sunny to partly cloudy and pleasant, highs mainly in the 70s, and then tonight mostly clear with lows reaching the upper 40s to low 50s. And then tomorrow, gradually increasing clouds, a few showers may develop toward the evening in the far northwest, and then highs likely to stay in the low to mid 70s. And just looking ahead to Wednesday, mostly cloudy with some intermittent rain, possibly a thunderstorm, with highs staying in the 70s. Well, that's all for Wisconsin Today Morning News Today. I'm Courtney Everett. Our producer today was Deneen Smith. Thanks again so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.